Another one bites the dust.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Some of the top CEOs on Wall Street lost their jobs because of the subprime crisis. We've seen heads roll at Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, and UBS. This morning reports the top guy at Bear Stearns is next. James Cain is stepping down as CEO, though he'll remain as chairman of the firm. Bear Stearns stock has lost more than half its value in the past year. Stock markets in Asia were up overnight. Major markets in Europe are higher as well. This morning, the price of gold set a record in London, $876 an ounce. It was a mixed day for Wall Street yesterday. The Dow edged up 27 to 12,827. The S&P added 4 points, but the NASDAQ lost 5. We talk about the credit crunch as if we've never had one before. I remember the 1990s, when the Asian financial crisis forced banks to stop lending. Now, to fill that gap, that need for credit, bond markets developed in Asia, and they've been growing ever since. In the current credit crunch, banks have again closed their purse strings, and as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, Asian bond markets are soaring to new heights.
With the bond markets lagging in Europe and the U.S., institutional investors are pumping money into Asia. Glenn Yeager is director of capital studies at the Milken Institute.
With the collapse in pricing in subprime and in certain areas of the bond market, there is an interest in trying to find yield in what are these dynamic, very fastly growing economies.
Where institutions go, individual investors follow. Todd Lee heads the Greater China Group for Global Insight. He says in China, the public cashed out of their bank savings accounts and into the stock market. Now they're taking the next step.
The stock market recently, you know, has been pretty volatile. So I think there's a lot of demand, too, for corporate bonds.
Asian companies are matching that demand with a torrent of supply. The Milken Institute's Yeager says the big issuers are real estate, telecoms, energy, and commodities businesses. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Voters in New Hampshire go to the polls today. There are 42 candidates for president on the ballot. The low cost of entry is one reason so many people sign up. From Vermont Public Radio, Jane Lindholm reports.
It takes only $1,000 and a dream to run for president in New Hampshire. David Mindich is a journalism professor at St. Michael's College in Vermont. He says New Hampshire's system gives more voices the chance to be heard.
Some of these ideas will make their way into the mainstream platforms, and it'll be healthy for democracy to hear more of a range of views.
And quite a range it is. Vermin Supreme's platform is mandatory toothbrushing. Jack Shepard is running from Italy because he faces first-degree arson charges in the U.S. But there are plenty of viable messages. Cap Fendig is campaigning on a so-called fair tax that would eliminate our current income tax system.
The fair tax, being a consumption tax, allows every citizen and visitor and illegal immigrant and criminal to start paying their fair share for the federal government.
Fendig's hoping just being on the ticket in a high-profile state like New Hampshire will get him noticed and maybe even win him a position in the new White House. I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
This is the week of the big high-tech dog and pony show. Today at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Comcast will unveil an ambitious plan for on-demand video. As many movies and TV shows as you want. Unlimited. The New York Times reports Comcast will also show off new technology to reduce download time for a movie on the internet. Just don't put the Golden Globes on your must-see list. The show Sunday has been canceled. The Screen Actors Guild announced a boycott to support striking film and TV writers. So, no ceremony on Sunday. Just a press conference so the winners can be announced, and that'll be aired on NBC.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com.
Today in Argentina, there'll be celebrations for a folk hero and a miracle worker. It's the anniversary of the death of Gauchito Gil. As the story goes, Gauchito Gil was a thief put to death for his crimes. He may not have actually existed, but as Rachel Hopkin reports, he's the unofficial saint of the poor.
At a shrine by the roadside in a rundown neighborhood outside of Buenos Aires, a woman lights a red candle in front of an altar. Red scarves hang from the ceiling and portraits of a dark, handsome man line the walls. He's Gauchito Gil, and Valeria Parasso made a documentary about him last year.
Gauchito Gil was a kind of local Robin Hood. He deserted the army back in the mid-19th century, went to live in the middle of the fields in Corrientes, and there he started stealing the property of the rich and distributing whatever he could get amongst the poor.
Eventually he was caught. Just as an officer was about to kill him, Gauchito Gil predicted that the officer's son would soon become very ill, and if the officer prayed to him, the Gauchito would save the boy. Later, as a way to show his gratitude, the officer went back to the place where the Gauchito died and built the first shrine.
That's exactly what happened, according to the legends.
In reality, there's no proof Gauchito Gil ever existed, yet in Argentina he's venerated posthumously as a miracle worker. Photographer Sebastian Atcher compiled a book about him.
First, because he was poor, he was somebody helping to the poor, because he was a survivor.
When Argentina's economy crashed 6 years ago, the number of Argentines living in poverty almost doubled. At the same time, there was a notable increase in the number of worshippers of Gauchito Gil. Valeria Parasso.
There is a direct link between the economic explosion that happened in 2001 and the lack of certainty, job losses, and all sorts of social issues that made people turn to alternatives for their faith.
Today, thousands of Argentines will go to his main shrine to honor the patron saint of the poor. Sebastian Atcher will be among them.
Everybody go to eat asado, drink wine, and dance chamamé. It's like a really, really huge party.
In Pacheco, Argentina, I'm Rachel Hopkin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.